since we all seem to be here, let me call the regular session of Oro Valley Water Utility Commission, meeting of September 13th, to order, and it is 5 my clock, dead on 5 o'clock. All right. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hitt?
Here.
Commissioner Hollingsworth?
Here.
Commissioner McGillen?
Here.
Commissioner Milkey?
Here.
Vice Chair Barrett?
Here.
Chair Hurt?
Here.
Wasn't that wonderful? Nobody forgot to unmute their...
Fair enough, we have a forum. Call to audience, let me open the call to audience. I assume that we have no one. All right, thank you. We'll close the call to the audience. Regular session agenda, number one, review and approval of the August 9th, 2021 regular session meeting minutes. We've all received a copy of those minutes. Any additions, changes, or corrections to those minutes? Hearing none, I need a motion for approval.
Motion to approve.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Before we move on, because we are now face to face, we can do voice vote as opposed to roll call vote. However, if anyone objects or wishes a roll call vote, all we need to do is ask and it shall happen. So, all those in favor of approval of the minutes as written, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Say no. All right, the minutes are approved. Let's move on to item number two. Discussion on fiscal year 2022-2023 cost of service study. Ms. Rollis.
Okay, thank you, Chair Hurt. This is an update on a cost of service study for fiscal year 2022-2023. Every 5 years or so, the water utility hires an outside firm to perform a cost of service study for water rates. So we're at the 5 year mark right now. So we, the utility is contracted with Wildan Financial Services to perform this year's cost of service study. The consultants have over 75 years of combined experience and have done over 1,200 governmental cost of service studies. And in addition, the consultants will provide the utility staff with current national, regional, and local trends on rate setting. So Wilden will provide a recommendation on the following, the potable base and quantity rate, the potable groundwater preservation fee, but they won't be making a recommendation on the reclaimed base or commodity rate. So the information that they requested that I provided to them was the 21-22 operating budget, the Town of Oro Valley Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, the last three fiscal years of water bills, water consumption, active accounts, and water purchase produced, the debt service schedules, capital improvement plan, and the water rate schedule. So the next step, Wildan will make a presentation and will meet with the finance subcommittee meeting to review the results. There'll be additional meetings with the finance subcommittee if needed. And then Wildan will present the results to the Water Utility Commission. So the schedule, sometime in October, Wildan will make the presentation to the finance subcommittee meeting. In November and January, we'll have meetings as needed. On February 14, 2022, Wildan will make a recommendation on the water rate to the commission. So if there is a recommendation to change the rates, on March 2nd, 2022, at the council meeting, there will be an adoption of notice of intent. On March 29th, 2022, we'll publish the public hearing on the town's website. and published notice of intent in the newspaper. And then on June 1st, 2022, at the town council meeting, there'll be a public hearing to adopt the proposed rate. And then the new rate will become effective on July 2nd, 2022. And if there's any questions?
Yeah, I have a question, Bob.
Why are you excluding the reclaimed rates from the coastal?
I believe that, is that because we had...
We did that 2 years ago. That was with Westland.
Right.
That was the methodology.
So you'll use the same methodology to do the allocations?
Do the allocation.
Following the...
Yeah.
This study. So this study will not actually be able to give a recommendation on rates. It'll be sort of a feedback because you'll have to...
On potable rates, it will.
No, because there are allocation issues between the potable rates and the reclaimed rates, which could change either one. So either you're going to give them the methodology.
Yeah, they have the methodology.
Okay, so they will just apply that.
Yes.
So in some sense, they will be making a recommendation about reclaimed rates. They just won't be doing a full cost of service study on it, right?
Okay, I guess you could think of it that way.
Well, I mean, yeah, because the two are coupled through the allocation of the common services. So you can't isolate one from the other. That's all I wanted to get clarified. Yeah, okay.
All right.
I'm good.
Other questions? All right. Mr. Ellis, thank you. Item number 3, update and discussion on Oro Valley's Colorado River water supply. Mr. Abraham, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair Hurd. So, the veterans of the commission have seen a variation of this presentation. And the genesis for this presentation is, you know, we've all heard that, you know, in January 2022, we can expect a tier one shortage of the Central Arizona Project, which is the production of the CAP's allocation or entitlement of Colorado River water. And I want to make sure for sure that the commission understands what that means, as well as our council liaison and, of course, our public that might be listening in or that go to these commission recordings to get further information. We have been communicating this through our monthly newsletter and our meetings we have with the public and, you know, questions. And I may get questions weekly on, what is this mean for Oro Valley? And, you know, unfortunately, you know, a 750-word piece in the newspaper, it doesn't adequately explain what a tier one shortage means and who it affects and when it affects them. So just in constantly trying to message that, first of all, I want to make sure our commission has a complete understanding of what the tier one shortage means, why we have a tier one shortage, and how does it affect Oro Valley, and if it doesn't affect Oro Valley, when would such shortages affect Oro Valley? So that's the purpose of this presentation. So just a little background on the Colorado River system. You know, it's almost 1,500 miles river system that runs from the Rocky Mountains to the Gulf of California. It holds 4 to 5 times the river's annual flow of the whole system. Provides water to 7 U.S. states as well as Mexico. We divide the Colorado River system into 2 areas. We basically consider the upper basin states, which is Colorado, New Mexico, Utah, and Wyoming, and then the lower basin states, which is Arizona, California, and Nevada. The allocation for the upper lower basin states is 7.5 million acre feet per year. River system provides water to 40 million people and supports over 5 million acres of agricultural production, as Arizona has a 2.8 million acre foot per year allocation, and that's split between what we call on-river users and CAP. So basically agriculture, Arizona agriculture that's on the river, they have an allocation of 1.8 million acre feet per year. They have a senior right to that. Whereas CAP has a junior right of 1.6 million acre feet per year. So in the theme of first in time, first in right, CAP would lose all of its allocation before on-river users lost any of their allocation. And Nevada has a 0.3 or 300,000 acre foot per year allocation. The Colorado River system began experiencing drought conditions in 2000. And it's estimated that the river is over-allocated by 1.2 million acre feet. And I don't know if you remember last year when I had CAP's Mitch Pachowski speak with us. And he said, when the capacity of the river was determined, it happened to be during some of the wettest years. They went back and looked at tree ring data, those sorts of things. It just so happened when they determined the capacity of the river system, it was during some of the wettest years. So then we get to maybe the normal years or the drier years, what we have what's called a structural deficit. We over-allocated the river. We said there's more water available than what there really is, especially for right now. Shortages are dependent on the surface water elevation of Lake Mead, and we'll go into a little more detail on that. And the Lower Basin Drought Contingency Plan only applies to Arizona, California, fuel reclamation, Nevada, and Mexico. And reductions occur in a priority order. And the water surface elevations of Lake Mead determine the annual delivery volumes to the Lower Basin states. So I put this together here to show the relationship between the water surface elevations of Lake Mead and the Lake Mead elevations and who takes cuts when. So we have, we're planning for a tier one shortage in January 2022. So what does that mean? That means the Bureau of Reclamation's model predictions say, hey, in January, you're going to be below 1075 at Lake Mead. So that triggers a tier one shortage. So if you go over here, tier one shortage between 1050 and 1075, Arizona takes a cut, which is all CAP, of 512,000 acre feet per year. Nevada has a cut of 21,000 acre feet, Bureau of Reclamation 100,000, and Mexico 80,000. So the total reduction in deliveries during a tier one shortage is 713,000 acre feet a year. 512,000 acre feet of that is made up by reduced deliveries or reduced resources available to the Central Arizona project. So that's what we're going to be in. Now, I'm going to go to the next slide. We're going to bounce between two slides here because I think we need to give context to this with respect to the priority of the Central Arizona project. So we'll worry about these words later, but here's 512,000 acre feet per year. Here's the priority. There's other excess. What that is, believe it or not, there is a time when there was excess water on the Central Arizona project. And for over two decades, what Arizona did is they took that excess water and they built aquifer storage facilities and restored millions of acre feet. I don't remember the number now. I don't remember the number. But millions of acre feet throughout Arizona in the Tama, the Tucson Active Management Area, or our aquifer, we have over 600,000 acre feet stored, and that's available to municipal and industrial. In times of shortage, we can recover that water. So that's what the excess water is. There is no excess water now. And then here's agriculture, the ag pool. And this is non-Indian agriculture, and that goes back to another term, but just think of it as other Okay, then after agriculture, you have the municipal and industrial and the Indian priority. So Evan and I and the Indian nations have the highest priority. So 512,000 acre feet, we're in a tier one shortage. You take away all the excess and, you know, maybe 60% to 70% of the water available to agriculture. Going back to the previous slide, so that's what the tier one shortage means. There are no curtailments to municipal or industrial during the tier one shortage. So then if the water surface elevation at Lake Mead falls below 1050, and they call this 2A and 2B, and we'll go through it here, but at 1050, so 25 feet lower than 1075, we begin a 592,000 acre foot reduction to the CAP. And as you go along here, there's a little more reduction to Nevada, a little more reduction to Mexico, and you get to the grand total of 821,000 acre feet. While you're still in that tier one-ish shortage, it goes all the way down to just above 1030. So if you notice, during all of the, during the tier 2A, the reduction to the CAP is 592, and then 2B, it goes to 640. But it stays at 640 for the CAP's reduction until you get to a tier 3. But what happens is you'll notice as the water surface elevation of Lake Mead drops, so here's where the CAP is at 640, well then all of a sudden, you know, California jumps in. You know, there's a little more reduction in Nevada. California jumps in with 200,000 acre foot of reduction. Your Gulf nation stays the same, a little bit more reduction to Mexico. What's important is, this is one of the reasons why I'll say, you'll hear me say, you know, if we, I'll tell you what it does mean if we get to a tier three, but it's unlikely that we'll get to a tier three, or the probability is less that we get to a tier three than for sure a tier one or tier two, is because we make up that structural deficit. Remember I said the structural deficit on the Colorado River system is 1.2 million acre feet a year. You can see we make that up right here. When you add up all the reduction in deliveries to the lower basin states in Mexico and Bureau of Arctic Nation, we should reach equilibrium at a water surface elevation between 1030 and 1035. And right there, that's a reduction of 640,000 acre feet to CAP, so going to the next slide. 640,000 acre feet puts us right here, you know, just above the M&I Indian Nation priority. You know, it takes out excess water and more to the agricultural pool. Then, now we get below 1025, that's a tier three, and also at that point, the Secretary of the Interior becomes the river master, meaning now the states, we, for lack of a better word, we're not in control of who gets what now. And now the Secretary of the Interior has the ultimate authority to decide who gets what and when. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why, you know, people say, well, you know, why did California jump in when they did? And you'll notice during Tier 1 and part of Tier 2 that they're not willing to take any reduction. Is it just because they're sweethearts? No. It's they wanted to make sure we got to meeting the structural deficit before the Secretary of the Interior became the river master. At that point, all bets are off. Depends on the political landscape at the federal level at that point. So let's talk about Tier 3. So if we get below 1025, Secretary of Interior comes river master. Let's say that person says, well, you know, let's let it ride for a little bit because Deadpool isn't until 890, water surface elevation of Lake Mead 890 feet. So at that point, the reduction. Central Arizona project is 720,000 acre feet, and Nevada has a 30,000 acre foot production, California, 350, Europe, like I mentioned, still 100, Mexico's up to 275, and then we have just under 1,500, 1,500 to 1,500,000 acre foot production on the river system. And then you see here, added to tier three, at that 720,000 acre foot production to the CAP, now we're starting to dip in, into the MNI. So, you know, my colleagues and I, working with the CAP, you know, we believe that we could expect, you know, maybe 1,000 acre foot production or less. I don't know the exact number. I want to do the math here. We'll see on the next slide. previous slide here. Okay, so I went through that. And then, so, see, in summary, CAP's priority system, as you know, Arizona has a longstanding priority system that covers who receives called river water in times of shortage. Excess water is the lowest priority, agriculture next, and then non-Indian agriculture next, and the highest priority is M&I in the Indian Nations. Colorado River's 1.2 million acre foot over allocation. We close the gap, you know, we believe that in tier two before we get to M&I. So last month, the Bureau of Reclamation published the results of their modeling efforts that predicts the water surface elevation of Lake Mead at Hoover Dam, and it would fall below the 1075 triggering a tier one shortage. The shortage would be in 2022. The tier one shortage does not affect Oral Valley's CAP allocation. Okay, so what do CAP shortages mean to Oral Valley? So we, Oral Valley, we have a subcontract with the CAP for our allocation. Our allocation is 10,305 acre feet a year. We purchase our full allocation every year. We direct deliver about 2,600 acre feet a year. We use about 5,000 acre feet a year to replace the groundwater we pump, meaning we put it in the aquifer storage facilities in the Tucson Active Management Area and leave it there. And we store about 2,500 to 3,000 acre feet a year in aquifer storage facilities throughout the Tucson Active Management Area where we have the ability to recover that water. Or we can use that water as paper credits. But I like to put it where we have the ability to recover, or will have the ability to recover. So if Lake Mead drops below 1025, delivery reductions up to 7% could be experienced by the M&I priority pool. So for Oral Valley, that'd be about a 7% cut, so under that 1,000 acre foot per year, as they mentioned, so 721 acre foot per year. So if I take our current allocation with the reduction, possible reduction, a little over 9,500 acre feet a year, and in 2020, we used 7,800 acre feet. That was between direct deliveries of roughly 2,600 acre feet a year, and I said use about 5,000 acre feet a year, so stand corrected, it's 5,200 acre feet a year, so those were grand total 7,800 acre feet a year, and we store the rest for future use. Contingency planning, utility, we've accrued more than 33,000 acre foot of long-term storage credits, meaning we stored over 33,000 acre feet in the Tucson Active Management Area. It's there now. We continue to accrue between 2,500 and 3,000 acre feet a year in long-term storage credits. And this is important, you know, as I mentioned, when we had excess water, the Arizona Water Banking Authority was storing water in throughout Arizona, and more specifically in the Tucson Active Management Area. We stored 600,000 acre feet. What's important to note is the Arizona Water Bank has assured municipal and other users that if there were to be any curtailments, that water is available to us until it's gone. And there's a methodology on who gets what. replace that water with a portion of our CHG allocation. We could have this CHGRD do it for us. The reason I do it the way I do it is because if I use a portion of our CAP allocation, it costs us $200 an acre foot to replenish the groundwater we pump, whereas if I pay the CHGRD to do it for us, it's about $700 an acre foot. So you do the math, you know, 5,200 acre feet a year times 700 versus 5,200 acre feet a year times 200. That does a big difference in the rate our customers pay. So I look at, when I look at our water resource utilization plan, I look at how can we do everything good? You know, instead of just storing the most amount of water possible and it's a hell of a cost, you know, I don't think that'd be palatable for our customers. So we're looking for that balance. We're still storing water. We have access to the Arizona Water Bank water. And at any time, we can say to the CHGRD, hey, replace this water on our behalf. So, but we continue to be a member of that. Then also, you know, we have our conservation tools. We have a full-time water conservation specialist. We have our AMI metering system. We're getting near real-time data on water consumption. We provide our customers with water conservation tools like WaterSmart. So I felt I needed to give it a summary when I talked about what does it mean to Oral Valley. So I said here, even if the Tier 3 shortage is realized, as indicated above, meaning a 7% cut, as I think it could be, the town of Oral Valley would still have the water resources to operate the same as it does today. What I mean by the same is, it would be my intention to still replace the groundwater we pump with a portion of our CAP allocation. We would still deliver the CAP water resources that we deliver. We would just store a little less water annually. One thing I wanted to mention, and I thought it had merit, you'll read a lot where during the Tier 1 shortage, you hear about Pinal agriculture, Pinal, Pinal, Pinal. You don't hear anything about Maricopa County agriculture or Pima County agriculture. Does anyone wonder why that is? Okay. Well, I'll tell you the reason why. Agriculture in Maricopa County and Pima County is firmed by municipalities. What they've done is, for example, we have a contractual agreement with Kai Farms, where the CAP canal goes right to the middle of their farm. In fact, I'm working with the owner to provide us with a tour of their facility. And we call those groundwater savings facilities, where he pulls, we have an agreement where we say, hey, you can use a portion of our Colorado River water and grew up pumping groundwater. But that groundwater you don't pump, we get that. That's our, so we have group. That groundwater that you don't use is our groundwater. So in a time of need, canal's right there, and the pump's right there. You can pump that water into the canal, deliver it to our storage and recovery facilities, and pump it to our service area. Agriculture in Maricopa County has done the same thing. The problem with Pinal County is they don't have a city of Phoenix or Scottsdale or Glendale or a city of Tucson or Oral Valley or Marana. They have nobody to enter those agreements with, or at least nobody with a large allocation that would make a difference. So they're not firmed. So they can't engage in this kind of mutually beneficial agreement with municipalities. So that's why you hear that Pinal is in the herds. They're not firmed by any municipalities as agriculture in Maricopa County. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have with respect to what I just spoke about. Question five.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. First, do you have any insight into what the different storage levels might mean in terms of cost? I know that when we hit the stage one, we were expecting costs to go up, and that's in the five-year plan, but stage two, 2B, three, what?
We don't, the CAP, they only give us, a firm year, what's the term that they use for the next year? I don't know if it's provisional.
Provisional.
Okay, so they give us a firm year, a
time we hit a stage three, it might go up considerably.
Yeah, you know, so when it comes down to that, you know, during our last great presentation to council, I had mentioned, we're going to be able to provide water to this community for the long term. It's just going to get more expensive. And one of the major drivers of the need for a rate increase, you know, our staff levels stay the same, you know, all these sorts of things stay the same, but the cost for the resource, because CAP has fewer customers to spread their fixed costs over, so we're seeing the price go up. All of us that rely on the CAP, we've been after them. Like, we all do 5-year plans. We're trying to do 10-year plans. We just don't have any good numbers to work off of this time. So I can just tell you it'll be more. Yeah. I don't know how much more.
Okay. My second question was the 1.2 million acre feet a year shortage must be based on a river flow number. And over what time period was that established?
You know, I do not know that. I do not have to research that. That was just the number that we were given as the structural deficit. But I don't know. Yeah, is that a 10-year floating average? Or I don't know.
Well, one of the reasons I asked the question, I was recently reading an article about a study that Lawrence Berkeley Lab is undertaking about the delivery of precipitation into the river. And it turns out that the efficiency of delivery of precipitation into the river has gone down by about 20% in recent years. And they're trying to figure out why. The first thought is it looks like the drier, you know, the more drought you have, the less efficiently the precipitation is delivered into the river.
Because it's held up in the soil?
Or it sublimates or evaporates, whatever, or plants get it first, whatever. But they're doing quite an extensive study to try to figure out what remedial actions might be taken. But leads one to believe that if drought were to continue in the long term and the efficiency were to decrease, that structural deficiency might actually
matter.
Increase. Yeah. Well, no, it might increase to the point that it gets to be an issue.
Yeah, I haven't seen the study, but
I can send you the article.
In my mind, it makes sense. We see it. We see it locally. So when the monsoons first come, that water hits the ground. It just soaks it up. But after the third or fourth event, every drop that hits the ground.
We didn't get a lot of runoff last year.
What's that?
We didn't get a lot of runoff last year, but we sure did this year.
Yeah. And we saw, you know, that all the trees falling over because they're kind of saturated. Yeah.
But with the Colorado River, with the water coming out of the mountain, you're counting on the snowpack to deliver that water. And it's a somewhat different process. So that'll be a study worth watching to see what they do. They're spending a lot of money on it, too.
I'm interested in seeing. I hadn't heard
of it. I'll send you the article, and if you want, you can send it on to anybody in the group that's interested.
Also, a couple questions. You mentioned that we have a current allotment of 10,305 acre feet. Is there any process whereby that number could go down?
So in 2026, all of the upper basin states, we're revisiting everything. So I mean, obviously every state is going to, you know, fight tooth and nail to keep their allocation. Anything can happen, right? I think what we're going to, in my mind, what Mitch had talked about in October with the reconstitution is you know, we're already meeting on this now. When I say we, it's really, you know, Bureau of Reclamation and the general manager of CAP, the director of AEWR, but through the Southern Arizona Water Users Association, Coral Valley is a part of, you know, we do have a voice in that, but you just have to stay tuned on that. I mean, of course, we're going to, you know, I would never say, like, no, we couldn't lose any or part of that, I think. If this, you know, I think what's going to tell a lot in the next few years is what happens here. Where do we really go all the way down to here, or do we have some years where we dip in here, other years we're back up here? I think that's going to really drive, you know, where we that's a game changer. I think my spidey senses tell me that M&I is likely going to stay whole. And we're going to see some interesting things happen in transferring rights from here to here. It's a very, and not only that, is also what's going on between here, you know, California, Arizona. There's a lot of moving parts to this one. Stay tuned. Stay tuned on that. Yeah, we're trying to keep my finger on the pulse of this right now. I know there's a lot of talk about transferring some of that over to here. So we're all going to be less than here.
You mentioned during your presentation that we have a subcontract with CAP. Can you discuss
sure.
that a little bit, what that is?
Yeah, so CAP has the prime contract with Bureau of Reclamation. And we have a contract with CAP. So I guess in reality, through the CAP, we have a contract with Bureau of Reclamation, which is called a subcontract. But the main contract is CAP has a contract with Bureau of Reclamation. We have a contract with CAP, so it's just a subcontract. That's what I mean.
Does that have an expiration date?
No. It's as long as we keep paying our bills.
All right, other questions?
Okay, well, then, what do you do? And they tell your friends.
You've got it for the next 10 minutes, Peter. All right, thank you. Moving to item number 4, discussion and possible action on Northwest Recharge Recovery and Delivery System Supplemental Agreement. Mr. Abraham.
Thank you, Sheriff. So, I can't remember, was it the last meeting, the one before last, I had touched on this, that this was going to be going to the Water Conservation and Resources Subcommittee, a little more in-depth. With a discussion. What this has to do with is right now with our commercial recharge recovery delivery system, we have a partnered portion of the project and an independent portion of the project. The partnered portion is in these areas where we're storing water, is constructing recovery wells that have been constructed, that we're equipping them, constructing pipeline, all partnered with Metro Water and Marana. Delivering that to a partner reservoir. Now, from there, that's where the partnership ends, is at the reservoir, because all three partners are pumping to what we call different high waters, just different service areas. You know, Marana's basically staying at the same elevation, roughly, as that partner reservoir is. Metro Waters, a little higher in elevation as you move to the east, and then Oil Valley is even higher as we go into our service area. So we have three separate booster stations. At the time the original agreement was constructed, you know, we said, you know what, which I can't believe that 6 years ago now that we're doing this work, is let's just stop the partnership with the reservoir and we'll each construct our own booster stations and go on our merry way. Well, now that we're in the middle of this process and we're in the design process, we know what things are looking like. The partners are starting to better understand the needs of when their communities are going to need these resources and then we want to go to our service area. So it happens that we all want to construct our booster stations at the same time. So here's the general arrangement form. Here's the partner reservoirs. You have a partner info piping, partner reservoirs, and the partnership ends at this valve right here, these underground valves, and then each partner builds their own booster station, goes on their merry way. Well, this isn't a big space, and there was a time at which the partners were looking to construct their booster stations maybe at different times and probably could phase it. It so happens now, none of the partners want to have millions and millions of dollars of an asset
three different contractors, building three different booster stations, three different transmission mains, you know, all going down this easement we have here. And then also, there's the, since we all want to be there at the same time, is the opportunity for economies of scale, you know. So what we did is, you know, Oro Valley said, you know what, we'll take the lead on this. Let's put together a supplemental agreement where Oro Valley is the lead agency, and we'll build all three booster stations on behalf of the partners and the transmission pipeline to a point where we really do go our own way. Why? Simplify construction coordination, allow the partners to have beneficial occupancy of the infrastructure at the same time, take advantage of the economies of scale. So the details, Oro Valley becomes a lead agency. The project will be managed by Oro Valley. It will be inspected on and accepted on behalf of the partners by Oro Valley. And the partners would reimburse Oro Valley for all the costs associated with the work related to the partners. The agreement is in a form where all the partners and procurement and legal teams agree with it, and now each respective partner is going through their citizens' advisory groups, their commissions, their boards, looking for approval to take the supplemental agreement to council. One of the things, and we're going through the numbers right now, is obviously this has to make sense for Oro Valley now. You know, so Oro Valley would be the project manager doing work on behalf of the partners. That time would be reimbursed for inspection time, procurement, the whole thing. It's really no different than what we do now with our NWRDS work, where we pay our fair share based on our capacity of the system to Metro Water. We pay our fair share of their you know, the design costs, the construction costs, inspection, permitting, and so forth. Well, we, you know, that would, Oro Valley would be kept whole. In that same respect, we would charge for those services we provided to the partners on behalf of the partners. I've asked the consulting community to give me a price to do the work that Oro Valley would be doing on behalf of the partners. I'll know this information before I would take it to council. Is it very well could make sense that you know, the designer that's working on this, the consulting firm, if they can do that work less expensive than Oro Valley can do it on behalf of the partners, we could go that route. We're doing this because, one, it stays in the theme of the collaborative nature of the whole project, where all three partners are working together for a singular solution set that benefits all of us. And we, you know, we're expecting to realize a cost savings with doing this work. So I don't have those numbers yet. I would be very well expect us here next in September. I would expect we probably have one more meeting. Oh, I can choose if I have a field trip or not. Well, I'll get those numbers to the commission so that they can see it before we take it to council. But after the discussion, what I would be asking for is, you know, a recommendation to the commission to take this to council, maybe contingent on the additional information, the commission receiving the additional information that I communicated with respect to someone else doing this work on behalf of the partners. But the supplemental agreement, like I said, it's completed. The procurement and legal teams have looked at it. Our partners have looked at it. Once we feel good that it makes fiscal sense to do that, we want to take it to council for approval. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
All right, I've got a couple of questions. Peter, were there any substantive changes either on the legal side or on the procurement side from what we had proposed initially?
No. Okay. Well, initially, when was it?
We saw a document that I believe you and your office had and your staff have put together?
Yeah, you know, were there some changes in some with respect to the insurance requirements and
but nothing substantial.
Commissioning the facility, yes, but yeah, nothing. I mean, if there was some substance, I would have pointed it out for sure.
Okay. And just out of curiosity, can you go back to the easement picture? There you go. I take it that is Lambert Lane?
Yes.
How wide is the easement on Lambert Lane? Just out of curiosity, because you got three basic pipes.
So we have a 50-foot easement.
Does the change in the nature of the product what's the change to the scope of work? And then, so the follow-up question to that is that is this strictly Oral Valley taking lead on the project previous scope, or are you doing things to actually simplify the partner offtake and perhaps even reduce operating and maintenance costs?
Commissioner Merrick, let me make sure I understand the question. So, Oral Valley would be taking the lead on only the partners' booster stations. Everything previous is still partner. That doesn't change anything.
Right, gotcha.
Oral Valley would be taking the lead on the construction of the partners' booster stations and discharge pipe. Mm-hmm. So,
nothing's really changed in work scope, which is simply who's running the project, that basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
Well,
yeah, if I understand you correctly, you're still trying to decide whether to do the bulk of this work in-house or to sub it out to.
So right now I have a vacant engineering position, and I'd be looking, one of the things we can do, when we have vacancies, we don't just automatically fill them. We're looking to see, you know, how we change our business model. Do we need that position? Do we need that position somewhere else? I've had this position vacant for a couple of years now, and as we're doing more design in-house, and it saves us money, I do need to fill this position. So I have the position that's vacant. I would fill that position temporarily with a project manager position, just to manage this project. We don't have the staff right now to manage it, but I do have a position existing now. I would fill it with a project manager position.
And then a significant portion of that would be paid by the other partners.
Yeah, roughly
half or more. So I guess the second part of my question where I was going with this was, what impact might this have on other projects within the water utility?
With the additional staff, it shouldn't have any impact. And bear in mind, it's not an extra position, it's a position we have that's been taken.
But you might, if you didn't have this job, you might not have to fill it.
So right now that position is earmarked as like a junior level engineer under the direction of a registered engineer. With this position here, I would temporarily fill it with a registered engineer because of the level of work, the level of unsupervised work that it is.
And you'd get the difference in cost by it.
Yeah. And but if you understood that this is maybe a 2 or 3 year position, and when it's done, that person goes away and I'd probably fill that position with the junior level engineer I needed to begin with. This is beyond the scope for like a junior level engineer. This would be like a seasoned project manager registrar.
Other questions? All right.
So I would ask, I do want to take this to council. Could we somehow, I would respectfully ask the commission, we could somehow put together a motion that maybe after the commission reviews the cost benefit find some words like that, or how do we want to proceed on this? I do want to take it to council. Could, Dave, if I had you, how can I get the commission together? Could, let me ask you this. We have a field trip in October. Could I put this on the agenda to vote on? Do you think?
That is a special session, so
okay.
We can't take action on a special session. We can hold another session, or actually it's a study session. So we can hold another special session.
You know, let's do... You know what? I think... Let's do maybe just, I'll just do it. How best to do this. Unless I held off the October field trip, made it in November, and we just had a commission meeting and then make it and then have a vote on it then maybe. Okay, I'll hold off.
That would be cleaner in my view.
Okay. Yeah, sorry you had to suffer as I worked through that.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm trying to get all the pieces.
Yeah. I speaking for myself, I'm a little nervous about where we are and saying, yep, go ahead here.
Fair enough.
Right.
Yeah.
I want you to help. Not that you wouldn't do anything or would do anything nefarious, but we don't see all of the pieces yet.
Yeah, agreed.
Right? Any problem with that?
Okay.
All right. Then we move to item number 5, town council meetings and communication. Council member Bowen.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here and to meet all of you in person. With regards to things coming from the council that impact the Water Utility Commission, I want to commend Peter for the water wasting code that he produced. I have a well-deserved reputation as a council member who reads everything and picks the nits. And I have to say, with Peter's code, I didn't find all that much. We had 3 or 4 things that we... needed to talk about, and they were, most of them were non-controversial, and I'd say most of them were where I learned something about my misunderstanding was informed by Peter's correction, so I'm really grateful for that. For things that are coming up that will impact water in Oral Valley, right now there's going to be a meeting, a second neighborhood meeting on the Oral Valley Town Center, which I'm going to attend at the end of this. In addition, we have other development proposals that are coming up, but once again, I just wanted to commend Peter for getting that approved. That was a good code amendment, and I think there was unanimous consensus on the council that this is something that we wanted to do. So that's my report for right now.
All right, thank you. Let me just add, having seen the meeting, I wasn't there, but my recollection, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Councilmember Bowen, it was a 7-0 vote.
Yes, it was.
Well done, Peter. All right, subcommittee commissioner reports, finance subcommittee.
There have been no meetings since our last committee meeting.
All right. Water resources and conservation subcommittee. I get to report on that because my colleagues decided that I got to chair that. What can I say? I'm still working on retribution. But basically, what we did is we took a look at a lot of numbers. Ms. Boyce, a member of the staff, gave us a discussion, an update on gallons per capita per day. And there was a discussion on infrastructure analytics modeling. We are getting an incredible amount of data out of the present water meter process. The question is, how best to deal with it, and how to tease out some of the things that we want. We're still working on that, and staff is working very hard on that. Youth conservation program, that is moving forward. And Peter gave us an update on the Northwest Recharge Recovery and Delivery Supplemental Agreement, which we have now taken a look at again. So that would be my report. If there are any questions, let me know. All right. Can I cover it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Item number 7, director's report. Mr. Abraham.
You sure heard? This will be quick. Yeah, one thing I'd like to mention is, the water code amendment that went to council and it passed 7-0. We'd like to thank, I come to appreciate Councilmember Bowling's attention to detail. I'll be honest, he brought a couple some questions. I was like, yeah, you're right. That isn't clear. I mean, we missed that. So I appreciate that. I think we end up, no one's as smart as all of us. And he has some great questions, some comments, and other council members too. And I think we incorporated or answered every question that came up. So we appreciate, and thank you to this commission and the proceeding commission. We spent a lot of time wrestling with the water wasting code amendments, getting it to where, I felt it was something that the department could support and without taking on additional staff and being reasonable and fair and being a place where people want to live. So thank you to the council and thank you to this commission. So October 6th, town council regular sessions. So far, council chambers at 6 p.m. And then again, October 20th, town council regular session at 6 p.m. In October, we've been working on a field trip for this group, but I think we're going to change that to November. Anybody have a problem with the November field trip, some bright middle of the month kind of thing?
It would be, I think, a better time. The last field trip, I about melted into my socks in October.
Okay. Well, yeah. We'll see what's going on with the COVID thing and this and that, and hopefully we can. And I don't want folks telling me, my plan would be to get us in a bus or something to go together, but let me know how you feel about that as we get closer to that. So we'll plan. Danielle, when would our next commission meeting be in October? Do you have that tip of your tongue?
The
second Monday of the month?
The 11th.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's Columbus Day.
That's not a holiday for us.
No.
Okay.
Indigenous.
And every day is a holiday for you, right? So let's plan on meeting October 11th, and we'll button up the supplemental agreement thing. I'll give you some numbers, and we'll button that up. So we'll meet in October, plan for a field trip in November. Nice lunch afterwards. That concludes my report. Thank you very much.
All right. Any questions for Peter? Hearing none. Open the call to audience. My assumption is we still have one. All right. We'll close the call to audience. Future agenda items. Does anyone have any future agenda items? Yes.
Just as a recommendation proposal, since it's been quite some time now since this commission recommended the water wasting code changes to the council, I was wondering if we might get like a 5 or 10 minute short presentation from Peter on the highlights about what changed in the code.
You don't remember? Like,
I don't. That's what scares me. I can't remember all the details now. It's been too long.
Sure. Yeah, I have it at the table right now.
All right, any other agenda items?
Chair, do we have a second?
For future agenda items?
For his recommendation, yes,
please. We can have a second if you wish.
Second.
Thank you. All right, we need no vote.
Correct.
There we go. Thank you. All right, we now come to adjournment. We have a motion to adjourn.
A motion to adjourn. John,
thank you.
Second.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposition, say no. All right. We are now adjourned.